night in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, as thy children we come into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth, aware that as we assemble ourselves together, we catalyze the vision that you send upon us in energy and power. Know that you are with us alway, abiding to the end of this age, never having left or forsaken thy people at any hour. Praying that you shall grant unto us a complete awareness of the pattern of thy purposes, we might see with the vision of inspiration this which you have ordained. Grant unto us an understanding that there is nothing that is new unto thee, nor is there any strategy which is directed against thy kingdom that you have not foreknown, nor provided the energy and the powers to accomplish victory for thy household. Give unto us the sense of security that belongs unto thy children when they understand with perfect understanding their relationship to thee. Cause us to understand also thy sovereignty of thy purposes as it relates to thy family, to thy nations, and thy church. And as we meditate upon these things, cause us to recognize that by bearing witness to truth, that we must emancipate those who are of our household throughout the length and breadth of the nations of thy kingdom that are asleep, victims and casualties to the struggle of the world powers against thy kingdom in the attempt to seal their minds against truth. We pray, our Father, that with the expansion of truth as men are set free, that we may participate, each and every one of us, in very testimony to these things which you have declared. So as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we say thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, with every assurance that this shall be, and because we have confidence in thee, we walk without fear. And as we surrender ourselves into thy guidance, we pray that thy abiding presence with us shall guide us into victory as we move into a great new day under the impact of thy Spirit. That in we ask it. Amen. Returning our thinking this afternoon, the great areas of power, security and protection supplied in the unseen forces that surround the kingdom and the relationship which God has to you as an individual, bringing to your cognition that which he would have you to know. There is no question that we are living in one of the most important periods in all the history of our race. As we have told you before, you're not here because an accident in time and measure suddenly placed you in human experience. Often we have heard it stated, I didn't ask to be born. But this, of course, is a rather short-sighted position. There isn't anybody in this room this afternoon who did not volunteer to come. There isn't any individual in this room whose spirit was not begotten by the Father in the plains of spirit before the world was framed. There is no single one of the spiritual household of the Most High God that are not spirit of his spirit and life of his life, who viewed the catastrophes that had taken place in the violation of divine law. And as such had witnessed what had happened to this creation, especially as it affected the earth. And when God in the majesty of his grace said, I will put this in order, you said, we'll go. When he said, I'll send my own children into the world, we'll build a kingdom there, subordinating the darkness, you were the volunteers. And of all time and periods in human history to have been selected by the Father to come, this without question is the most significant period, and I wouldn't have exchanged this period for any part of history or time, because you have been born in a period in which you're going to see a climax of events, the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom. And there is no doubt in my mind that of you that are seated here, that almost all of you will witness the climax of this age and the re-entry of Christ back into the human field of existence. There isn't any question about the fact that we are at a very climactic period and that the struggle for the earth is now reaching its peak. And the top areas of international intelligence that are aligned with your relationship to these events, they know that the Red World hopes to consummate and complete the domination of the Christian nations, the conquest, if necessary, militarily of yours, before the end of 65. They also know that the plan is being stepped up by the successes in areas of infiltration
and by the unprecedented influence they have through the use of psychiatrists and trained experts in psychological reactions to sell a submission and eventual surrender and acquiescence as though it were the selection of high virtue in place of resistance and struggle. They feel confident that they have been able to use churches and educational facilities to even create a guilt complex in great many people for thinking in terms of resistance that might bring about struggle or war. In all these instances, the enemy has been using a very skilled area of assault against your society. I recently was in conversation with areas of such intelligence communication, and they feel that we are in the very final hours of the struggle for survival. And in the course of this, and it is only because of this that I was in this discussion, because there seems to be a tremendous affinity in every area of the struggle against the powers of darkness that draws and brings together people who are looking for answers. Now you say, with all this information, with intelligence areas, with military backgrounds, why do anyone seek any further answers? Because, my friends, there's a lot more to this than what the enemy has arranged and what material counterintelligence may intervene and understand concerning the strategies of the programs of darkness to take over the world. For even though the processes are underway and the world order seeks to not only take over the world but subordinate the kingdom, there's another area of intelligence that belongs to the family of God, to Christ and His church, and to you that make up that celestial center. That is a set of information that belongs to you that you can say is divine intelligence communication. And that because of this, you can also know some things that the enemy cannot understand and cannot know. You know, you may think of the cunning of Lucifer that you refer to as Satan and the devil, though some people like to eradicate this from their theology. They think this is a sophisticated approach, and it is, because sophistication is just false. But it doesn't change the existence of the being, and it doesn't change the design of his kingdom and the activities of his offspring. But there's one thing I want you to know this afternoon. Lucifer is not as smart as God, nor has he the intelligent perception he had before he fell. And because of this, he did not understand the great catastrophe to his own program when he was stirring the Jews, who are referred to in his own statement as his ancient people, to bring about the crucifixion of Christ. At that time, he thought the crucifixion of Christ was going to end the resistance of a Messiah or a leader which was out of the heavens to lead the peoples he was opposed to victory. He thought he had totally broken the power of any celestial invasion of earth to take away the earth from his fallen status. He thought the crucifixion was the final answer, and the crucifixion was his own defeat. He did not understand it. The Apostle Paul, after his experiences in the heavens, the advancing education which he received, said the very princes of this world did not know. And had they known what was involved, they never would have brought about the crucifixion of the Lord of glory, because they lost the control of the binding of the social consciousness, the soul consciousness, and the connection of the soul consciousness with the spirit of every last one of the children of God. They would never have precipitated a chain of events that would have ended in the release of the household of God and the consummation of the process of their redemption. So you see, in strategy and forces that cannot be explained by armies and men, Lucifer has already defeated himself in some of the areas of his manipulation, but he feels in this materialistic realm of the holding of men and of nations, of the confiscation of property, of the suppression of those that give homage to the Most High God, that he's going to be successful on the sheer weight of manpower and the ability by subversion to penetrate society, and by the processes which he has planned and timed skillfully to brainwash so many of your race by all the mechanical instruments of the sense perceptions. I do not think that there is much argument about the fact today that in the areas of communication, in press, in radio, in television, the slanting of information and the carefully designed areas of approved knowledge and thinking concerning world affairs have been skillfully guided to cause you to surrender as though this was the honorable thing, or to try to make you assume a complex of responsibility to further the causes of Marxism or socialism and disperse your goods, and make you even think that this is a Christian attribute. For when Satan preaches from the pulpit about what you should do, many, many times he makes you assume the responsibility as a Christian of doing the devil's work. This is one of the reasons why that we have spoken in the past about one of the greatest gifts which you possess among the gifts of the Spirit, and which can be sought after and can be granted to each one who will seek after spiritual gifts, and this is the gift of discernment. This gift of discernment must be spiritually activated. For the soul consciousness cannot depend alone upon the areas of the perception of the senses and then draw his evaluation out of the area of merely materialistic evaluations. If there is not a higher level of delineation for your race and for the household of God, then the world order could be successful continually by outfoxing you in the areas of cunning. For the nature of the world order is one that is not built upon the spiritual principles and values, the morals and the standards of ethics, which are natural to the children of the Most High God, whose children you are. Therefore, the strength of your society and the preservation of the culture and the carrying out of the objectives of the kingdom require a spiritual energizing which is above and beyond the capacities of any other race or people upon the face of the earth. The secret of the enemy is to produce a status of mediocrity. It is by this same policy that he can suppress a race and destroy its culture, that he can get you to embrace what eventually is the breaking down of the barriers of race itself. And if he can so do this under a process of misapplied religious interpretation, it can be accomplished with fervor. I think the Presbyterian Church tried to resign from the kingdom of God in the last week. And they think they're doing this with great fervor, as their leaders upon the floor of their conferences in this past week said that the challenge now before Christianity was to establish the true equality of man, and to move to any suppressed and any browbeaten people and deliver them from this status, to give them their social equality, to have them absorbed and respected by society, to break down all barriers and social bars, to admit all peoples to the mighty brotherhood of the family of God. Then the Presbyterian Church called from its conferences Martin Luther King, and were willing to send 10,000 silly preachers and people down to march with these Negroes in protest. In protest against what? Protest against the laws of the state? This, I point out, is a demonstration of successful control of ecclesiastical leaders when the leaders are guided by senses and not by spirit and have had no guidance or spiritual discernment for some time. One of the great problems of our day is that we have many who have pursued to some degree a study of the Scriptures. But in pursuing this study, it was largely pursuing the study of opinions already set up for them in the areas of their denomination. Thus, they could not say that any direct inspiration has affected my decisions or opinion, but this is what I have accepted, and thus they have perpetuated just areas of individual opinion from which denominations have moved. And after a cycle of a few generations of clergymen who are just a rubber stamp of already inspired sermons or constructed ones, and without ever having had to reach into any area of inspiration or never having had caught the pattern of divine calling, never having had their own consciousness activated by divine purpose, they don't know how today to find the purpose of God. And so we may have all of the form of godliness and all the areas of assembly for worship, and not one word of thus saith the Lord for an application to their present problem. I can think of nothing more harmful than to see a branch of the Christian church joining today communist demagogues for a status of incapacity. In this instance, they would advocate complete integration. With complete integration comes complete intermarriage, with no barrier to the absorption of a complete brotherhood. I think it's constantly important that you never let out of the mind of any individual Christian in any attitude that is introduced concerning the race question. So when they start to talk about lowering racial bars for social absorption on the basis of brotherhood, They can no longer argue that their brotherhood is a spiritual quality of mental reservation. They must then admit that their spiritual qualities of religious evaluation are translated into physical action and into physical contact. Thus, if the process of brotherhood is not even in their minds the extension of faith in a similar deity, but must be now brought down to a physical association on the race level, then they must admit to you that their faith has now developed mongrelization and processes which are in violation of the written word. Thus we declare that your position now becomes most clear. You can have no brother that is not your father's son. That therefore there is no basis for brotherhood except they are the offspring of the same father. Let's use then the terms and the symbolisms and carry them out to the extension they so desire. Of all the peoples on the face of the earth, and as far as I know, throughout the universe, from all the records of time and things God has brought back to the remembrance of both the prophets and have unveiled by his own ministry, he has one family in heaven and earth. And this family in heaven and earth are his own children, begotten by his own spirit, embodied by his own creative purposes in the various parts of the universe. But he has many people who are creations in their orders and in their kind. And he does not refer to those that he has created in their orders and in their kind as the children of his household. They may be children of his creation. But when he refers to himself as the Father and as to the holy seed which he has planted, it only relates to you, the children of the Spirit begotten in the heavens, planted in the earth by his own purpose. Do not think that this Adamic race does not have a very special relationship to God's purpose, for this is why he placed you here. And this is why the ordination of God's purpose and the establishment of his kingdom will be carried out, for whatsoever he wills to do, he shall do. No one's going to stop or hinder it. Because of that, we walk with faith. We talk about the vastness of God's creation, whatsoever he did with good, and whatsoever he proposes to do is going to be for its good as well. But the most important thing that you and I possess is cognition and understanding relative to not only our relationship to God, but to the empowering forces which he has placed at your disposal to carry out your objectives in the earth. Brotherhood is a very important thing. There is no greater brotherhood in the world today than exists in the sons and daughters of God when they know it. Well, there is no question about the areas of human emotion that are built around the structure of the family. The family is one of the simplest units in the structure of God's kingdom, from which in its expansion and relationship from community to county to state or to government and province and to the mighty nations of God's kingdom, we can still say the smallest governmental unit in the area of God's purpose and the important unit and very important in its structure is the family. But I point out to you that in the relationship of cousins and uncles and all the relatives that are in the structure of your family, there is no affinity that is more completely aware of brotherhood than the awareness that comes to sons and daughters of God when they understand God's plan and God's purpose. You are closer today to those that are spiritually activated to think with you and to worship with you in the purposes of God than you are even to your flesh and blood relatives that are close to you. Though virtually every white man on the face of the earth is a flesh and blood relative. When we talk about this pattern of Adamic purpose, it is quite clear that this is a work of God and his grace. And because of this, God is taking no chances with the security of the soul consciousness that are resident in these bodies. We talked to you about the strength and power which can come out of celestial areas for this type. And it's very, very closely related to first awareness and understanding, because this is one area in which you have the greatest areas of divine blessing. You were sent into the world to give knowledge and truth along with the building of the kingdom to those that had no other capacity to get it except from your lips or the lips from God's household. In the past few weeks, we have referred to areas of redemption and to the redeeming work of God, which means he was getting back something he had before. And that he carried this out to the complete security of the individual and the inability of the powers of darkness to put him in bondage. And since the finished work of Christ's atonement, the satanic powers cannot put in bondage the sons and daughters of God from the standpoint of any control or power over their celestial consciousness or over their soul consciousness as such. But the individuals through the senses can accept the error of pattern and keep out of the cognition point as to what God has done. And they can dwell under pressure and under bondage, and they can sleep in apathy instead of walking in the light and the freedom that belongs to them as the heritage of God. It is in this that we have great problems. When people ask us concerning which way shall we go, what are we going to do? The time level is not very far removed before we are locked in Armageddon. The strategies of the enemy are to render us defenseless, to find ways of securing control of our abilities in the material world to defend ourselves, to try to break down the statuses of our government, to absorb us in the program of the Antichrist, whether Mr. Kuechel can understand his mail or not. I think the very fact that he receives so much well-informed mail should demonstrate to him there must be some avenues of research that he should approach. You know, today one of the smart tricks of the enemy, when they've got a mind they can so thoroughly control, is to deride without explaining why the things that they do not want people to know. And in almost every area of this man's attack, for instance, against the awakened peoples of God and the patriots, he just poo-pooed everything and laughed off everything or put it aside as dangerous and that somebody has been given a superstitious and wrong approach, but at no time did he answer any one of these things. I want you to know that the only reason why some things are not more successful is because so many people were awake and put so much pressure on so early that they had to alter the course. At this very moment, the kingdom is not only assured a victory, but it was assured a victory before the enemy started his attack. It's the power of God to pour in all the necessary ingredients to bring about the reaction, and he said he'll never permit you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. Nor will he permit all the strategies of darkness to accomplish their purpose without supplying essential strength and power for the achievement and the victories of his kingdom. We look out upon the race, and you are a minority group. There is no question about that. You're 1/6 of the world's population. If we want to worry about minorities, you're a minority group. If anybody then would be suppressed by areas of number or acceptance, it would be you. So this is one minority, I'm quite assured, does not want to be absorbed. I think this minority is not asking for equality because we don't want to come back down that far. I point out to you that in this area of design, mediocrity is the design. They come in and they tear up a community, but when they rebuild it, well, you can't tell one house from another. I look at some of this housing, I don't see any improvement. But there's one design that the world order has, and that's to subordinate everybody down to mediocrity, and with that, virtual extinction of the patterns of inspiration or identity or achievement. But in this same design also, they are seeking to break down a powerful society, and this is the household of the sons and daughters of God. In this room, there are just twice as many beings, at minimum, as there are people seated in these chairs. Maybe it's quite fortunate for us in many instances that there are not twice as many people in the same dimension, because it could get stuffy in a room like this if you had twice as many people. But there is a being in this room for every last one of the children of God that are in this room. You say, why? Because God hath not left you at any time without guardian angels. He hath not left you at any time without the celestial forces which are at his command and under the command of angels at his disposal to not only be with as a guiding influence to catalyze from the outside spiritual forces, but to intervene in your behalf. This is not only understood by the ancients, but it's biblically understood. In fact, even Lucifer understood this. The day that he beguiled Christ by his attempt but didn't accomplish it and sought to get him to show his power, he wanted Jesus to jump off the high pinnacle. He said, "Isn't it written that his angels will bear thee up? Thy own guardian angel will not let you fall." Now, guardian angels were not sent down to keep you and I from jumping off cliffs. They might help us from falling off in the dark. But the design was to distort the meaning. You know, the devil would try to con God. Here God stood in front of him, and he was trying to trick him, trying to get him to prove that he had power by killing himself. Jesus turned and looked at the devil. It was his devil. He said unto him, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The kingdom of God is a triumphant force. It's going to survive. When we talk to you about the fact that there is a tremendous catalyzation of spiritual power and energies, and that the family of God in the celestial place and in the physical what is the kingdom of his household and his own offspring, the Apostle Paul understands this, and he uses terms in the Greek which make this quite apparent. In the book of Corinthians, he talks about the fact that we are different from the peoples round about. And when he talks about this difference and distinction, he refers to it in their nature. In the second chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, "Now we speak wisdom unto them that are perfect." We speak not the wisdom of the world order, for the wisdom of the world order is how they think in the United Nations, how they think over in Russia, how they think in the kingdoms that are against you. This is the wisdom of the world order, cunning and strategy of it. But remember that if the princes of this world had known what you know, they never would have crucified Christ. So Paul says we have to talk in a level much higher than this. So he said, "I'm going to talk to you in wisdom, which is some of the mysteries of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Hidden wisdom which God ordained before this era for your glory, illumination, and understanding." So you see, you are a people that have the capacity to receive an understanding and a knowledge which is known to God that no one else can understand. And it was ordained before even this era and this creation that in due time that you were going to understand these things. And this predestinated sovereign transition of re-indoctrinating and illuminating the minds of his household was thus unveiled. Now we note here that these things, God reveals them unto us by the Spirit that searches out all the deep things of God. Now therefore, this is what he said, "We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might freely know these things." These things are taught not with just the wisdom of the flesh, but they are taught by the perception of the Spirit. Now, the natural man, and this I want to point out to you in this 14th verse, the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, this natural man is not talking about the Adamic man, it's talking about men without spirit, because the Adamic man were of spiritual origin. When Paul talks about the people who are spiritual, the word here is pneumaticos, which means that they have a spiritual life perception, and though they dwell in bodies, they're not like the natural men who operate only with the senses and not with the spirit, but they possess the spirit which is of God that can illuminate their consciousness, their intelligence, and their guidance. In the areas of theology, when they had been blinded by the preparations of change that occurred in churches in the early periods of the church age, when they were trying to accept all peoples everywhere as though they were the same, and this was the strategy which Jewry introduced to the church in the second and third century, when unable to destroy it, they joined it. In this instance, they tried to therefore affect theology, and this theology has been an area of theological warfare in Rome, in the Protestant circles afterwards, many times shifting impositions on the soul and on the spirit and these things in order to try to come up to certain ecclesiastical specifications that their enemies had drawn up. That's why, as we pointed out to you, they added in the book of Mark, in the last chapter from the 9th verse on, areas of verses that never existed in the scriptures before, because they wanted to create a commission to gather all peoples and beings and races and equate them. This has always been Satan's diversion. Whenever they have to add something to the Bible, this is Satan's way of trying to sell you a piece of goods, and there's no more direct way than to put it in something you have faith in. So in this instance, men like Schofield get trapped sometimes, and he tried to say, therefore, that Paul taught there was natural man, then there was the spiritual man, and that we are both the natural and the spiritual, and therefore this is what he was talking about, and that the natural man's the Adamic race and the spiritual men are the Christians. But this hardly works, since the celestial man was begotten before the foundation of the world. The celestial man has the things which can be understood only of God, which he ordained from before the foundation of the world. It is a clear-cut pattern of understanding, when one breaks it down simply, and theologians know this is true, that the Bible, under Paul's writing, interprets in those areas of his epistles that there are different kinds of people, and that the children of God, the sons of God, had capacities and perceptions above other races of the world order. This was taught in Old Testament as well as New. When in the days of the fall of your race, the violation of divine law had lost this aura of connection between full celestial consciousness, God intervened in this area to come in from this time on until the hour of his own revelation embodied as Messiah, to intervene with heavenly forces in your behalf. He came down and told you in person. He sent messengers and angels. He sent special leadership to guide men like Joshua and Gideon. He opened the eyes of the prophets in order that they might see that they were not alone, that surrounding them were great heavenly hosts, celestial beings. Every one of them were capable of being revealed in the physical world under a certain divine purpose, but they were invisible to the natural senses generally. They were catalyzing areas of spiritual energy. They were throwing areas of confusion even upon the enemy. I can show you in areas of the scripture in which armies marched against armies in a materialistic battle, and spiritual forces added wavelengths of energy and a secret weapon that never could have been combated, that so confused the thinking of the enemy that they couldn't logically carry out their normal assault. The result was they were defeated by waves of energy that disturbed even the consciousness of the enemy. This was spiritual power from unseen realms. It was there. The forces that are deployed for the preservation of the kingdom have been known to God, who always adds enough because the kingdom is going to survive. The instance of all the pattern of the Old Testament, it was essential that God break through by sending the messenger, by specially pouring out his knowledge and wisdom upon the prophets and upon the leaders that he raised up, because they had lost the connection of full spiritual guidance that belonged to your race by the process of the fall which occurred. Everything was there but the connection. We have mentioned before that there exists inside the human brain a set and ganglia of nerves just exactly like those that you have for the eye, but there isn't any eye there. This exists inside the structure of the brain, and now in the areas of the study of the brain and its reactions, they say that there isn't any question about the fact that there is a center here that perceives and draws or activates, just like the eye sets up an image and activates and relays its impressions. There's an area here that has no eye, but somehow it is also demonstrating a capacity of energy, as the electrodes in their experiments have proven. And there isn't any eye there, but there is an eye there. For this is a part of the mechanical equipment with which God adapted you, and he couldn't over-adapt you, but he adapted you for the reception of waves of idea that do not come through the senses, but still must be drawn upon by the soul while resident in this physical body. so that expert mental authorities studying the human brain, anatomy, but in this area neurologists in Germany and in other research centers as well, noted the difference both in the convolutions of the brain, but noticed also the difference in the development of this area, which was an eye without the actual lens system. And they noted how it was so extensively demonstrated that it was different in its activity, in its use in your race. We point out to you again that passage which often we refer to because it's so significant. If thy eye be single, thy body be full of light. The scripture talks about the eye of the spirit. It talks about the eyes of the senses and then the eye of the mind that can reset up all the patterns of experience or sit and reason out of the senses it perceives, but draws its greatest program of expansion out of the areas of inspiration. And inspiration does not come out of the sense. It has to come out of the spirit. So the eye of the spirit is a realism, and in the Adamic man, when God begat and placed his household here, and as Luke tells you, Adam was the son of God. The genealogy of Jesus, as you remember, it runs back the genealogy to the son of Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. I point out to you that what was lost was the full affinity of a continual sense perception and spirit perception to the soul consciousness. What a double and complete evaluation. God thus by instruction and by intervention, by raising up leadership, which he took through special experiences, carried through and supplied you both with the consciousness of the law and with the manifestation of his own hand, guiding and directing his people. He filled in that area of lack by commandment, revelation, and messenger. When you arrive at the period of Christ's ministry, God himself walked among you. And at that time spake words that no man spake like this man spake. Even the soldiers of the enemy sent out to gather him, came back and said, no man talks like this man talks, and the people believe him, and it wouldn't be wise to touch him right now. Jesus was breaking not only the bread of life, but he was able to carry the transition from the consciousness of perfection and understanding to the minds of those round about, because he focused and sent it there. With the directivity of God's mind, he set up a mental picture in the minds of the soul consciousness of each one of those that were his listeners that he wanted them to get. He brought through the connection. He told them that it was essential that he go back into the dimensions of spirit, into the heavenly planes, to send a wave of understanding and power upon them, Paraclete, that they could receive, but the world order couldn't receive. They didn't have any capacity to, they didn't have any wavelength of understanding in this realm, and they were not spirit of his spirit and life of his life. Because you are the children, because you are the household, because you have an affinity with me, because you are my kinsmen, you can receive it. Then when he stormed the battlements of the netherworld and broke the powers of Lucifer and paid the price of atonement and bought the whole market and then closed it, set you free. He then was moving into another era of restoration. Just prior to his ascent, he told his disciples that they were to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. Now, all the manifestations and trappings and interpretations that have gone through the areas of religion and their experiences, the thing that God ordained was a sending of spiritual energy with complete cognition in areas that men sought to empower them as sons of God to do things which sons of God were now capable, for his atonement had paid the whole price. The restoration was complete by purpose, and as far as the legality is concerned, the race of which you were a part was as well equipped and ready, except for areas of perception which they could have, to occupy the earth with power. One of the first things that had to be done was to guide men with a challenge to go out all over the world, wherever your race was located, in Western Europe, or whithersoever the kinsmen were, and quicken them to the work which Christ had accomplished, to lift from them their fear and their guilt complex, to challenge them to bring in the kingdom and to overthrow the powers of darkness. It had to start with Calvary. It had to start with cognition, which was the work of the Spirit. therefore, this is the reason why that the power that descended upon the disciples was in an area of such advanced patterns of perception and such challenging force that when they spake to the sheep came. And that's why the book of Acts could say, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is getting out from under the superstitious complex that they were being saved from a torture chamber when they died, to the understanding that they were being saved from error and catastrophe while they lived. Now we point out to you that you're at the climax of an age. That at the climax of an age, you're going through the conditions which prophecy has unveiled and which satanic cunning has designed and which God has promised to pour in the essential ingredients to complete the victory on your side. There is no area of lack of understanding as far as God is concerned concerning what was going to come up. He's never had to change his plans. He's never had to call in his counselors and say, we've got to alter this, because they've pulled this. They pulled something we didn't expect. There is absolutely nothing that evil has done. They've created a condition that God cannot cope with. He already knows this. Now, the most deadly thing that has transpired has been the falling away of the last day. Now, what is this falling away? This falling away has been the utilization by the enemy of the areas of communication to capture the seat of consciousness until they have put people to sleep in your race, nice people, neighbors, people that in their apathy think that they are fulfilling the highest position of world citizenship and have not been sufficiently stirred by their ministers, Presbyterian or not, to the fact that world citizenship is not what we're interested in. It's the kingdom of God and the citizenship in that that concerns us. Even to the point of bringing recrimination upon the kingdom of God, the orders of God in our faith, by attacking even the orders of God as though it were an old-fashioned, backward God, how we've got to accept a new position. And in England, not fast enough, Mr. Wilkes of the Socialist Labor Party says we've got to create God and the ideas we want for Him, because that's all the God there is. That's why socialism took over a brain like his. That's why socialism takes over the labor areas. That's why it's so easy, because when they get weak in their spiritual position, it's easy to capture them. Now, we have today, in greater or lesser degree, then the captured Americans, like Mr. Kiko. Right? These people are not only captured, some of them have become the very mouthpieces of the captivity. And at the same time, they utilize positions of influence and authority in order to suppress all that do not agree with them, as of no importance, because they do not hold the present authority which the world order has helped them to attain. What they do not understand is how close they are to the hour of transition. For I want you to know the hour of transition, which is in the hand of God, has already started. We've talked to you about how divine energies move out the whole universe together, and the mentoids hold together the atom. God can send spiritual ideas which are nothing but the concepts of His mind. He can so charge that center of perception inside your consciousness that the spiritual activation will challenge the soul, and the soul will start thinking about things that relate to God, reevaluate all kinds of conditions in its environment. The other day, talking to a person that said, you know, I got to thinking about things the other day, and started my doing a little research in this, and I ended up a right winger. I said, you just decided that you were going to start thinking about this? How did it happen? Well, you know, I was all of a sudden something occurred to me, and this started off. First thing you know is over in this camp where I said, you know, 40% of America today, from an area of general apathy, has moved over into an area of alertness. And as they progress into this thing, something else starts to challenge them. The answer is not just in an area of materialistic fortification. It's not just coping with this thing on the basis of trying to win it through an election, because we may not have that much time. It is because of this that we're talking to men on every level, and we're in communication with people on every level, from industry to military. Because they're reaching for something. What is it? They want orders from heaven. One of the greatest demonstrations of this awaits the earth in the hour of God's own timing. There's no one here knows what time that is, but it's not far away. When by entering into our atmosphere and into our earth, with all the hosts that he has for this cause, but by the very entrance into the earth of the eternal God, by the energies out of his own majestic and glorified being, by the wavelength of the great intensity of this mind of all minds and the spirit of all spirits, there shall start a function in this seat of this eye of the spirit that reaches to the soul, when suddenly it sees everything correctly as God sees it. That charge sets up the proper image. And John tells us that we are the children of God. And when he shall appear, we're going to be just like him. We're going to think like he thinks. We're going to know like he knows. We're going to understand what he understands. Don't say you believe that? Why, sure, I believe that. In other words, the tremendous dynamic energy, like a tremendous change through the entire atmosphere of Earth, will give to an already redeemed people, though some of them are asleep and in the mental bondage to their lack of spiritual understanding. They're suddenly going to know. They're going to think right. Now, this is something that the enemy can't cope with. And what he can't cope with is that what God does, he starts a forerunner to. And God is now stirring men to speak his words, and he's stirring people to think upon them, and he's starting to galvanize your race as he sends out his spirit and his power. And this is what is mentioned in Joel when he said, in this last days, when this northern army is gathering, I'm going to pour out my spirit as a latter rain, like righteousness descending as rain upon the earth. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all my sons and all my daughters, my young men, my young women, my old women, and they're going to see visions. And the word perceive that which they have not seen is translated dream or dreams. But what God's declared, I'm going to pour out this energy, reconnect this celestial consciousness now. They're going to remember things that I told them and that they knew before the foundation of the world. I'm going to do what I said I would do in the 14th chapter of John. Bring all things to their remembrance. And they're going to perceive and they're going to know. Now what happens? It means then that God said, I'm going to start bringing the awareness of the consciousness of celestial values in earth to man until the world order don't bind them anymore. And that's going on right now. And all those who serve the forces of darkness cannot stop it. They cannot change it, and they cannot hold it back. It is out to these patterns of revelation that printer's ink and paper fall away before the illuminated pattern of God's purpose, and it'll flash out of his word, and it'll flash out of all the things you know. And the more you seek, and the more you want to know about the purpose of God, and the more you seek divine direction as the sons and daughters of God to finish your task in the earth, the more it overwhelms you, and the more everything falls into place. And the less opportunity has the enemy to put a defeat complex over upon you. We will never settle Earth's problems until we realize that Earth is not unrelated to the plan of God in the universe, and that this is the present battlefield and the area where God has already predicated victory. Last Wednesday, a great craft, some many feet in diameter, swooped out over Mint Canyon, swung out over Benson, turned out over the valley. Some of the people coming up on Wednesday to the Wednesday meeting, they saw this. This thing happened. It's happening all the time. The other day, the Los Angeles Times said, you know, while people have been watching the race problems in Alabama, while they have been thinking about sunken submarines and about problems in Vietnam and Laos, they have kind of dropped off in the news discussing the fact that there have been more visitations or more sightings of flying craft and objects than at any other time since this whole thing started, but it's been crowded out of the news. The other day I talked to one of the greatest flight pilots, test pilots we have. This man said, Dr. Swift, he says, you know, he says, we fly these things at 3,000 miles an hour. We get up to the edge of space. And he said, we see things all the time. I used to report them. Then I'd be interrogated. Then they'd sit and make notes. And then they'd come back 2 days later and make some notes again. Then they'd come back 4 or 5 days later and said, you must have imagined this. You were mistaken. Well, he said, after this happened a few times, I decided I'd quit reporting anything I saw, save them a lot of pencil work and me a lot of problems. Because they were beginning to doubt if on the third day whether I saw them, and so therefore there was no sense in telling them. They pay me $5,000 to make a flight, I'll just make the flight. But he said, I want you to know, Dr. Swift, that we're seeing things all the time. And so also did our astronauts see some things, but I don't think they'll let him talk about them. Let me tell you this, that there is now manifested around Earth great areas of energy and power, forces, some of them visible and some of them invisible, but the visible patterns are already showing you what time it is. Men have had eyes all through these years, but they're seeing things now that they couldn't see before because they were not here. You have arrived at a great climactic hour. Heaven's forces bend low to earth to strengthen the kingdom. And in your hour of need, it's going to be there. I talked with one expert, and the longer he talked, the more frightened he got. I listened to this man talk, and he told me what he'd found out in Europe, and he told me what he'd found out with leading intelligence forces, and he was a qualified man in these areas. And the longer he talked, the more he told me why we were so close to a climactic point, and we were so little prepared for it, and unless we did something right now, we were going to be destroyed. I said, yes, but we're going to do something. There isn't any ifs in this matter. We're not going to be destroyed. We're going to come alive as the most dynamic force that the world's ever witnessed as God pours out His Spirit upon His sons and His daughters. I said, this isn't going to be the kind of revival that a lot of churches anticipate, but it's going to be one of the greatest reevaluations of true value in the purposes God wants men to think on that they've ever known. It's the design of the enemy is to destroy your race in order to hold the earth, then the design of God is to liberate and empower it for the preservation of His kingdom. There is no question about the fact of the hour, and God may shorten the time for the elect's sake. But I want you to know that the greatest need we have today is to just quicken the consciousness, and God's starting to do this, of men, so they start to search and to seek out truth. And as men think together, and as God sends the concept upon them, and they catalyze this energy, it becomes a drive and a dynamic in them, and they can't put it down.
They're talking.